Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
For the back half, well, they didn't pay him. Like, does any of what I just read, like, matter to that crowd? I'm not saying everybody feels that way, but does any of that matter? Or is it just, no, it's a good football fit? And hey, I got one response. Tomlin and Khan talked to him. So what? Who gives a rat's ass? They talked to him. Yes, you heard both of those guys separately say nice things about Cam Sutton, the person. It's very obvious that he made a very positive impression on people in this franchise when he was here. How does that have anything to do with what I just read? Or the entire reason he's available? All you heard Omar say in that clip was, you know, we understand there's a situation and that's why he was available. Well, the NFL thought it was pretty bad. I don't know. Maybe I'm Pollyanna here thinking that this stuff matters. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's, hey, can he help the Steelers? He can? Great. Not even sure about that, by the way. Not even sure that he can help the Steelers. He won't be literally not be helping the Steelers for 8 weeks. He'll be on that team at Halloween, eligible to play. I hope it's worth it. Maybe they made the right calculation, Donnie, because so far from the people I've at least seen on Twitter, we'll find out about the phone lines here in a second. This is just a suspension was coming. We think he's a good player. He's cheap. He might be good. Perfect. Also got somebody, Dave, messaged me and said, Pat Peterson incoming. That's the other guy. I said somebody that was a former Steeler for the time being might not be for long. I would think that they were probably, just to go into the practical side of this, Donnie, for a second, I would think that they probably were waiting for how long the suspension would be, and then they were going to make their decision on whether it was long enough. Hey, do we need Pat Peterson, or can we try to float by with not a whole lot in terms of proven commodities?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if he got a call from them in the next 48 hours, if it even takes that long.
Call the Pat phone, cousin to the Bat phone.
Yep. Was that my landlord, by the way, that DM'd you?
That was Dave, your landlord. Yeah. I don't know. I'll make him into a character, Dave the landlord. I don't care. That's fine with me. 412-928-9370. There's a lot going on. Paul Skeens is in the All-Star game. First guy ever to get picked number one overall 1 year, and then the very next year be in the All-Star game. He might even start. One MLB insider shed some light on that situation. You're going to hear about that in just under 20 minutes. Right now, Matt is in Sarver. He's waited very patiently to jump on. Hey, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Good. Just real quick on the Cam Sutton situation. That with you reading that Tampa article,
yep,
that gives me a different perspective on how I feel about that situation. You actually have to plead guilty to an extent. That kind of
In Florida, and it varies by state. That's why I was trying to hunt that down. You don't get to just say, you know what, I'll do that program instead. There has to be an admission you did something that you could otherwise be put in jail for. You know, whatever.
Exactly. So I feel it was like he's not a good enough player to really justify keeping him around. I mean, they could use that position, you know, roster spot elsewhere.
What bothers me about it, Matt, and this is the main thing, is that they just have gone with the, well, we know him and we thought he was a good guy. Well, good people do very bad things, and then you have to start wondering if they are actually good people anymore. But that's just me. I know you called during Pirates talk. I'll give you a chance if you wanted to sound off on whatever you had there.
Yeah, that was my other thing, is that as far as the Pirates are concerned, I believe that they do need to do something. They are not a good enough team right now to even get to the playoffs or even do anything significant in the playoffs without going out and getting like a Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
But you'd do that right now even with Jones on the shelf for possibly like 5 or 6 weeks and Falter being out for a little while with this tendonitis?
Well, it just depends on what, you know, the Blue Jays want for him, what the Pirates are willing to give up for him.
No, the problem with that is, among other things, I mean, there are some people, Matt, thanks, who don't even think Guerrero Jr. would be the right guy, that you should go for Luis Robert Jr., but there's so many teams that are still technically in it, it narrows the amount of available players and then drives the price up. Simple economic supply and demand. Jim is in Irwin. Now he's on the Fan. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mahler, this is Jimbo from Irwin.
Oh, I know it's Jimbo from Irwin.
Hey, man, I just want to say the Pirates are one bat away from getting to where they need to be.
Is that bat like Aaron Judge, or is that bat like Gary Varsho back in the day?
No. So I'm down in Myrtle Beach looking at the ocean. My girlfriend's super mad at me because I'm calling the Fan right now. Got a Pirate tattoo last night. Let's go. Let's get one more bat, and I think we're good.
Jimbo, enjoy the beach. He does have a tattoo. I know Jimbo's buddy who sent me a picture, Donnie. There is there's a picture on my phone from Jimbo's buddy who said, Jimbo asked me to send this to you. It is very large and in charge, a big gold P on his arm. That is Donnie's laughter, if you can't hear it. One bat away. Let's go to Anthony in Oakland. Hi, Anthony.
So I'm going to look at this from the perspective of the union. This is what the union will do now. Goodell went to the highest level of suspension, discipline, which is custom in these type of things. Union will look at it, file an appeal, take it out of Goodell's hands.
He waived his right to appeal. He already it's in the stories about this. Sutton waived any right to appeal this.
Oh, well, then he made a mistake. Would not have done that. Goodell always starts out high.
Can I ask you something,
out of his
Anthony,
hands and put it in the outside arbitrator.
So I agree with you. Goodell tends to start out high almost every time in these. I actually think you're correct to assume that. We would agree. You and I would agree that in everything we've ever heard of Cam Sutton talking, Cam Sutton comes off like a pretty sharp guy, right?
Yeah, it sounds like the Steelers.
Well, no, hold on. The players. The player is, you know, in terms of union matters, the player's got to watch out for himself. The team's not necessarily going to just like watch out, especially if they don't want to run afoul of Goodell. It's telling to me that the player here, who I don't think is a dumb guy, I think quite the opposite, waived his right to appeal. That part of it sticks out like a sore thumb to me.
Well, in my perspective, being a union rep for close to 30 years, I would have talked him out of that. But here's why. He's a first-time offender, which means you take – and under the new collective bargaining agreement, it would have been taken out of Goodell's hands. It would have probably got knocked down from 6 to 4. Similar to what happened with Roethlisberger. You remember, he had
No, I remember that got knocked down to 4. You're right. Let me ask you this.
Got knocked down to 4.
As a union, as a guy who's been a union representative, what I'm asking you this seriously. I'm not even trying to be combative. What do you think would motivate the player in this particular instance to waive his right to appeal, though?
I don't know. Sometimes the team gets involved to take the whole punishment. That's what happened with the case of the Oakland Raider, Terrell Pryor, who was suspended before he was a member of the league.
Do you think that the Steelers
talked him into taking a suspension, which was ridiculous?
Do you think that the Steelers, though, would have really told him? I mean, they vouched for him. I just played Tomlin and Khan. They both said very nice things about the guy, very complimentary things about Cam Sutton, the person. I would think if they felt like he had a chance to win the appeal, you'd get pretty cutthroat as a team and just say, try to win your appeal. If we have you for 11 games instead of 9 games, that's still two big games where you could make a difference for us. Like, that's just not adding up. I'm just wondering if Cam Sutton himself understands or thinks that, hey, I entered this pretrial diversion program that requires by the state that it happened in an admission of some guilt. I'm better off just not bothering to fight this and getting the 8 games and then getting it out of the way. Like, I have to wonder if that calculus entered into his brain.
I don't give much weight to affidavit of probable cause as you do, because this is what I give more weight to. Because that was initially done by the police. First initial statements are always going to be the worst. What happens is the district attorney looked at it, decided, okay, plead guilty, as we normally do in these cases. You go to the diversionary program, your whole record will be wiped clean.
Yeah, because it wasn't a felony. It was a misdemeanor.
But regardless, it's still
The reason that the state attorney, that a pretrial diversion was even eligible here, they thought it was appropriate to move forward. This is the state attorney's office, Hillsborough State Attorney. Misdemeanor domestic battery charges. If it was felonious in nature, they wouldn't offer him something like this. So they felt like it wasn't severe enough to rise to the level of a felony, but they also felt like it was severe enough to still be misdemeanor domestic battery. And then they gave him the chance to say, you can admit that you're guilt in this to some extent, and then you can enter this program. And then we wipe the slate.
That's why I'm even more confused on why he would even take suspension there, because it wasn't a felony. I don't know. I don't know who's giving him advice. I would have never given him that type of advice. We're going to the outside arbitrator.
Do you think he even did anything here? I don't know if I've ever asked you this. Do you think he even did anything in this case?
I don't know. He said he did. He pled guilty.
Okay, no, that's
all. But I don't think you should lose your job.
Well, he's not losing his job. He's not. He got a job. He lost his one job, and then he got another job back.
Right. But hold on. You're saying he should never have been signed in the first place. That's losing your job, right?
I would not have signed him, but he would have had 30 other teams besides the Lions and the Steelers who might have decided that they wanted to sign him. That's the point. We don't know how many teams would have been interested.
Look, I just look at this differently than you do, and that's what makes the world go round. I don't mean I'm better than you, you're better than me. I just look at these type of things differently.
No, I mean, from an employment perspective, I think you can talk about a lot of different things that he could have or should have done. I mean, I think I can say this with, and I like Anthony. Anthony, I see him from time to time in this building. At times, he used to come on with Zeiss on AM, and those two would go back and forth, and I usually was on Anthony's side. I think I can say with a pretty clear conscience that I've been pretty upfront about which guys on the Steelers who have run afoul of the law, I think, really have sat poorly with me. And I don't think I've ever really minced words, so I don't really think I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth when it comes to this team and guys who have done anything that either not even ran afoul of the law, but potentially got themselves in trouble that looked pretty bad. And I never liked it from the start. Not a good enough player. Might be better in the role the Steelers have envisioned for him. But I read that affidavit. I see the way that everything played out. I understand he had to have admitted that something happened. It just leaves me with a bad taste in my mouth. Same thing as when James Harrison struck the mother of his child. Like, all those stories. I don't know. The idea that you just go by and say, well, they're not paying him a lot of money. This is just a good tactical football move, man. I hope my brain never gets that football pilled to just look at everything through that prism. That is a tough way to go. 412-928-9370. That's the Fantex line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we...
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You get money. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at 93.7TheFan. It's brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them, southhillskia.net. Paul Skeens, you know this by now. I've said it like three times today, but I'll say it again. The first player ever, the list of players to be drafted 1-1 one year and then the next year make the All-Star game, one, Paul Skeens. Paul Skeens, 10 starts in the major leagues. It always feels like this is happening to some other team, doesn't it, Donnie? Some other team has the guy who's made 10 starts and he's already such a phenom that he's like in the All-Star game. I would expect that would randomly happen to the San Diego Padres or some crap like that. But this is the Pirates. What a man! What a man! And he's yours, Pittsburgh! Right? 10 starts in for Paul Skeens. 5-0, 2.12 ERA, 78 strikeouts in 59 innings. The dude appears to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth thus far. About the only thing he's doing is occasionally giving up a home run, but that seems to happen to like the first or second hitter of the game, and then nobody touches him or sniffs him. The fastball, even when guys catch up to it, they can't usually put it in play, and then he throws a splinker, and it's completely ridiculous. Okay, so he's been awesome. This is Jeff Passan, ESPN's MLB insider. I believe this was on, though, the MLB Network, like the All-Star Game selection show. This is what Jeff Passan had to say about Paul Skeens in the All-Star game.
Which I think is great for the league to actually acknowledge that even though Paul Skeens hasn't had the counting stats or the number of starts or the experience that some other pitchers have, he brings an element of excitement to this game. I truly do believe that people would tune in to watch Paul Skeens pitch, preferably at the beginning of the game, though. There were a lot of people who responded within the industry to that idea of Paul Skeens starting over, say, Ranger Suarez or Chris Sale with, come on, you got to earn it. Well, what I think is that Paul Skeens has earned the eyeballs of people who want to watch baseball. And that is what the All-Star Game is about. It's celebrating the game and just how great it can be. And Paul Skeens, guys, is great.
You know what that reminded me of, Donnie, when I listened to it the first time and saw the clip, was when he talks about the people within baseball saying he's got to earn it more. Like, come on, don't just hand this to him. It's an exhibition game that's supposed to be for the fans, and it's supposed to be entertaining. And Skeens himself, like, talked about being a big fan of the All-Star Game growing up. Like, that's like the one time, if you were an Anaheim Angels fan, you got to see Mike Trout get some flowers because they were never doing anything in the playoffs while they had the best player in the sport. It's not quite as unique as it was before interleague play and everything else, but it's an entertainment product at the end of the day. It reminded me, hearing those guys be cited by passing, those insiders within the sport say he needs to prove himself more, he shouldn't just be handed this, with like any NHL old school guy, right? Oh no, headshots and all this fighting and the fact that any star player could at a moment's notice be taken out by a ham and egg type of player, and that ham and egg type of player is actually good for the league and that's what we want. It reminded me of the people that adhere to that rigid kind of ideology with the NHL. Come on. The whole goal here should be to do one thing. Two things. Get as many eyeballs on the All-Star Game at the outset as you can, and create the most favorable conditions for something cool to happen at the All-Star Game. Do you know what would be cool? Inning one, Paul Skeens in Arlington, visiting pitcher. Bottom of the first inning, starts the game. Oh no, he's only got 10 starts. Nate, would you rather have Ranger Suarez or Paul Skeens starting a do-or-die game right now? I know who I'd pick. Donnie?
I'm going with Skeens.
Suarez is great. I'd go with Skeens. Especially if I can go like 7, 8, 9 with somebody else. If I get 6 innings of Skeens, I feel really good. Suarez, you never know. He could get touched up. He's been awesome, but whatever. Be nice for baseball if they had, I don't know, Paul Skeens and Aaron Judge squaring off. Paul Skeens and who's the guy in the Orioles I already hate because he's so good? Gunnar Henderson?
Gunnar Henderson.
Be nice if you could have Paul Skeens going against those guys. Chris Sale, Ranger Suarez. Come on. Chris Sale's human Gumby. I'm very happy for Chris Sale that Chris Sale is, you know, on the comeback trail in his career and he's overcome arm problems and everything else. But if you're baseball, you should be trying to get Paul Skeens in front of as many eyeballs as you can, as early in that game as you can, and let him do his thing, even if it's for one inning. Guarantee that your best hitter, best power hitter in the American League, goes up against probably the guy who's going to be the best pitcher in the NL, barring any injury issues, for the next 5 years at least, I would think. I mean, that's how good Skeens appears to be. He's also the betting favorite to win Rookie of the Year now. So, like, are you really... If that's what the odds makers think his career will turn into the rest of this year, are you really giving it to an undeserving guy if he's probably going to win the Rookie of the Year the way things are going? And what's he going to finish in the Cy Young voting? If he starts, let's spitball and do the math here, Donnie. He's done 10 starts, so he missed, what, 5 at the big league level?
Yeah.
So if 30 is sort of your typical benchmark for a workhorse, maybe somebody gets 32, 33 in a year, but 30 is that magic number. He's going to get, what, 23 starts probably?
Yeah, somewhere in the mid-20s.
He'll throw, if they have their druthers, 150 or so innings. If he is a dominant starting pitcher who throws 150 innings and goes win-loss, I don't care. But if his ERA stays down near 2 and he goes something like, I'm just going to spitball here, 17-1 in 22 starts with a 2 ERA, he should win the Cy Young, period. I don't care what Ranger Suarez does.
He'll be among
does.
The finalists at the very least.
Right, so to the... Correct. To the previous point, if the guy is the betting favorite to win Rookie of the Year, and if he duplicates his first half and his second half with just a few more starts and innings and everything else looks the same, he's going to be a top 5 Cy Young guy. Explain to me in what universe that player would not deserve retroactively to have been the starter in the All-Star game. And again, that's actually like making a case like almost you would in a courtroom for the guy. The real case with a sport like baseball, same as hockey, is like... Get somebody who's got common sense percolating in that brain of theirs and just say, what do people want to see outside of Philadelphia fans? Ranger Suarez or this dude? Who also, by the way, has a girlfriend famous enough that on her, like, did you see this, by the way? So she, like, surprised him with, like, balloons and champagne. Yeah. They made the All-Star game. Her thing was at the start, my boyfriend made the All-Star game. They just, my boyfriend. Like, her followers don't even know who he is other than that he plays baseball. That's how much of a non-factor he is compared to his girlfriend, who, all due respect to her, is ultimately, I don't think, as good at what she does, because I don't think she's an Olympian, which would be
She actually announced she's
back
going
to
back.
LSU for a fifth year. Yeah. I don't even think it's mean to her. She's one of the best gymnasts in the country, but there's only so many spots on an Olympic team. He appears to be poised to be much better at what he does than almost anybody is at what they do. But he's still on her socials as my boyfriend, because a lot of her followers probably just are like, oh yeah, that's Livy Dunn's boyfriend. Get him out in front of eyeballs. Blair Paul Skeens like it's an episode of WWE Raw. Put the Chiron beneath him.
Maybe some pyro.
Sure, give him some pyro like he's Goldberg. Give him the Goldberg entrance. I don't care. Have a cameraman walk out right ahead of him. Have him flex and do a couple fist pumps on the mat. Whatever.
He hits his head off the clubhouse door.
You know, I just watched the two matches he did on the Nitro where they put the strap on him. Why did they waste that on a random Monday night? That should have been the headliner of Starrcade.
You mean when he beat Hogan?
He had to beat Hall first, then he beat Hogan. Heenan sounds like he's going to have a coronary during the Hogan match. Finish him! Finish him!
Carl Malone makes a special appearance
there. Yeah, Malone hits the diamond cutter. Yeah.
I actually think there's a way that they can have the best of both worlds here. I mean, if there is, I mean, not that the pushback should really matter, but as you heard Passon say in that clip, like, well, this isn't really the agreed upon thought around the league of him starting the game.
Passon,
the
by the way,
league.
Thinks he should.
Oh, Passon loves
Passon's
him. I don't know if Pony's a bigger fan
Passon
of
thinks
Skeens than what Jeff Passon
is. We have another clip of Passon from earlier, like, imploring Tori Lavolo, who's the NL manager, to start him. Like, begging him to do it.
I mean, Passon said after, like, four of his starts that he would start him in a game seven over, like, any pitcher in baseball.
I mean, he's virtually unhittable when he's on. Like, I think the one critique I've heard of him is sometimes his fastball, they can catch up and at least put contact on it. Oh, well, he'll just throw one of his 18 other pitches to get you out.
But I think you get him into the game early. Maybe you don't start him, but you get him in the third or fourth inning, that second time around for the American League, because normally the batters, the guys that start in the lineup, they're going to go probably twice through before they get replaced. And you know a pitcher is only going to go maybe two innings to start the game, and then inning after inning after inning, they're forward. You keep some eyeballs on the game because you have people thinking, when is this guy going to get in? When is this guy going to get in? You have to wait a little bit, but not too long. Third or fourth inning, bring the big fella out there. You have Soto and Judge and Henderson, whatever their batting order will look like, coming up for the American
League.
God,
if you could set it up that you get him one time through against, like, definitively, you get it. Well, because I don't know what their batting order is going to look like, but those three could easily be 1, 2, and 3. I still would probably do it at the start of the game, but if you could tease at it like it's going to happen in the third inning or something like that, and he's going to get those guys, hopefully, their next time through, or I guess the fourth inning maybe if they were the 1, 2, and 3 hitters, that would be something. I'd still... That has margin for error there. Not margin for error. That has, like, things could go wrong. I'd still start him. Because I think it says more, like, we understand what this game is as a league, and we understand what it's supposed to be. That's what that would tell me. It's 5:30. Time brought to you by UPMC Health System. Your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened. 412-928-9370 to get involved. Been a busy last couple of hours. Cam Sutton suspension coming down. Pirates get a much-needed win. I feel very weird saying that about the Pirates because nothing you've seen from them in 2 months suggests they are capable of doing anything other than being about 3 to 4 games under 500 at any given time. Literally. I can say that because it's true. They have not won or lost more than 2 straight games since the middle of May. They do not have the look of a team that is poised to go on any kind of a run. In fact, it would not shock me, Donnie, if they win the first game in Milwaukee tomorrow, 2-game winning streak, lose the next 2 in Milwaukee, 2-game losing streak, and round we go. In fact, their best chance to make the playoffs might be everybody else coming back to the pack, which just isn't how this works.
It is really frustrating to me, and I'm sure I'm not alone here, They tend to get so close to 500.
And then they fall back off. It's like them trying. It's like
they will get within a game or two, and then they'll lose two in a row.
It's like them trying to finish off series sweeps when they have chances. They never do it. It feels like they never, ever do it. And that's why they haven't won three in a row in forever. Because you almost have to see them win the last game of a series where they lost the previous two and then win the first two of the next one to get a three-game winning streak. We have some very good hodgepodge topics coming up, Donnie. I've had somebody tweet one to me that you'll like. It's not even a New York Post story either. This is from another very reliable news outlet. Right now we have Bill and Wes Newton on 93.7 The Fan. Hello, Bill. Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, what do you got for me? You were waiting patiently, so I wanted to let you have your say.
You know, I think that the Pirates, and that's what I called you for, would they'd be wise to, like Chapman, you know, some teams might be interested in him. Thinking of Baltimore, I heard on that one of the talk shows that Baltimore is hurting for pitching. And they got a lot of guys in the minors that there's no place for them. They're ready for the majors, but there's no place for them on the Baltimore's starting lineup. It might be wise for them to shop some like a pitcher like that or someone like that to try and build up their, you know, minor league system with hitters. Because, you know, they got a solid core of pitchers now, and they're going to have a solid core, it looks like, for, you know, the next 4 or 5 years. If they could start bringing up their hitters and get a solid core of that, then, you know, they have a pretty good ball team. They have pieces here and there. They're not going to do it in one or two pieces, and they're not going to do it in 1 year. You know, but I would just keep building. And who knows, if they, you know, if they say they traded Chapman, bring these guys up and they start hitting, they might be better off than what they are without them. So that's what I would do, because they're not going to buy a big bat anywhere. And
so more than anything, you would sell. If it were buy, sell, stand pat here, you would sell.
I would sell for guys we're going to have for a while.
Well, the problem, thanks, Bill, the problem with that is if you're trying to sell and get back in return players you're going to have for more than 1 year that aren't rentals, the price goes, it's the little stonks sign. Price goes way up. Nobody's given away multi-year team control guys like a Luis Robert Jr., for example, for pennies on the dollar. Just, it's not how baseball or really any sport where you would have this dynamic works. A control, especially for young, proven commodities, is a precious thing. Miguel is on the north side. Hey, Miguel.
Hey, guys. How you doing today?
Good.
Okay. Hey, so the Pirates, yeah, they're going to be a 3-4 game under 500 team all season. I don't expect big things from them, but I don't expect them to release like a Chapman or anything. But go out and get some good ball players that play center field, maybe replace Sawinski or Michael Taylor. And about Cam Sutton, that's disappointing that the Steelers even hired the guy. That's all I got.
All right, then. How do you feel about that as the end of a call? That's all I got. Do you imagine if I came on the air to do a show, I gave you 10 minutes of opinions, I just let it all hang out, turned to you, packed up my stuff, said, Donnie, it's 2:11. That's all I got. Brother, there's not a drop more takes in here. I'm done.
You got a tee time at 2:33, and you just
got
to
bolt
out of here.
It's not going to work for me, brother.
I kind of respect that when callers
say that, when they don't try to extend it beyond like what they originally wanted to say.
They don't try to ramble on.
Oh,
they
I
keep
love
it
that.
Pretty short and sweet, and they just say, like, that's all I got. Now, sometimes I feel bad because they hang up so quickly where they pull the, like, I'll hang up and listen.
Where I'll hang up and listen because
I actually
always
want to have a conversation with you, and it's like, oh, man, I lost you.
Yeah, but some of the people, I have run into this problem, and you'll be hosting from 6 to 10 with Gorgeous Borges, so you guys will have a lot of fun. When I would host, especially what happened later at night when I was hosting, I would feel the same way. And so I would say, don't, you know, I hate the how hang up and listen. We're having a conversation here. It's not, you know, 2:30 in the afternoon. We're not trying to run through 50 calls in a show or something like that. So one or a couple of times I would try to get a person to stay on. Even if I had other people in line, I'd be like, I want to hear what you're going to say. Then it would be clear that the reason that, you know, after like 20 seconds of back and forth, it would become abundantly clear to me that the reason they said I'll hang up and listen was they really had nothing else to say. And they really did just want to listen. They did not want to stay on the line. So I felt like after that, I had to start being very careful. If the person sounded good, but then thought they had to get off the phone quickly, I would try to keep them on. If they, you could tell when somebody really just wanted to say one thing and then listen to you bloviate about it. But we ran into it a couple times on the overnight show.
They just didn't add anything else?
No, I would try to go back and forth and be like, yeah, I don't know. It would literally become evident to me. No, I called because I wanted to hear your reaction to what I had to say. I didn't want to go back and forth. Like, almost like if you were doing...
I kind of respect that, too.
Like, if you were doing a debate-style thing, like a presidential debate, it would literally be just point-counterpoint. Each person reads from their script. They never respond to what the other person says, and then I guess they let a neutral party decide who won. It would be like that kind of thing. Just two people talking in two straight lines that might never converge.
I remember whenever we had the old phone system and we were able to do this, the
caller contest.
The times where we would have callers battle it out with each other.
Oh, that was some of our best. We had one dude that
we would purposefully get people on opposite sides.
I remember that, and I remember we had one guy, his name is eluding me. I know he follows me on Twitter, and I think he's actually from Cleveland, who sounded like he was ready to throw down with the other guy. And I don't think threats were made, but it had like the tone of threats. They were getting into it, dude. And I remember that being our best example of it, and I'm sure it's lost to the fan audio house fire here, but you probably get like your own little set of people that you're used to hearing from now on these shows, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Do you have anybody that sticks out to you as they don't call the guys in the afternoon, they generally talk to me?
I wouldn't say that because there are names that I will see pop up that I either hear call these shows earlier in the day or they do call us. Now, our guy Jeff, he is solely a PM team guy. He's never called me.
Really?
In a solo role.
Well, he's got a kid. He's got a wife. He's got stuff to do. He's at work, so he's presumably listening to us while he's at work.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't take it personally.
I occasionally get like Anthony in Oakland will call in. Brian in Brookline, I know he's a regular. Who are some others? Doc in Claysville, by the way. Did you hear what he said about Dan last week?
Oh, I think I did.
Dirtbag Dan.
Dirtbag Dan, yes. Yes, I did hear that.
Doc, I don't know where that came
for
from.
For Doc in Claysville to get mad at you it's a tall order. I had a guy that used to call the night show Bert in Bel Vernon, and it, you know how you hear some people say the same thing every time? He would pick up when I would put his phone on the air. He would go, yeah, Chris, thanks. Like, but not in a sarcastic way. It was like very polite, but I started to like hear it in my sleep. Yeah, Chris, thanks. And then he would call the sports call, I realized, as Bert and Rostraver. Why not just be Bert and Bel Vernon everywhere? You think you're not going to get through as Bert and Bel Vernon? You think we got that much cross-pollination between people screening calls on these shows?
How many people do call both? I mean, you get to experience it at least half the week.
Oh, that's a good question.
Dave and Delmont, another pretty loyal one.
Yes,
he's
Dave
called
is.
Me plenty.
Dave and Delmont. Today, I just noticed today was a lot of like names/locations I didn't recognize as being regulars to the show, furthering my belief that there's solo. Each of us has our own solo audience, and then we Voltron it together for the regular show. And thankfully, there's two nice sized chunks of people coming together. Anybody that calls both. No, there's a couple. There are people that I know call both shows. Like, I recognize some voices. Jeff in South Park has done it once or twice, and he's always got good takes on that show. He's got a good sense of the timing. No, the thing, why am I blanking on the names? Richie specifically gets like, he has like a roster of 10. He has like an NBA starting lineup, and then he has a full set of reserves. And I swear it's a lot of people calling just to, shoot the breeze with Richie. Twice a week. Kirk and Manor is the one guy that I could not think of the name. Kirk and Manor. There's a dude in McKees Rocks There's a guy named Tony up in the hill. Those are like notable sports call callers. But Kirk and Manor's got to be the all-timer. He might be listening to this right now. I don't know. But he's always tuning in.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.